Well, good morning. Welcome along to church this morning. My name is James. I haven't met you before. I'm making sure we're keeping our Bibles open at Hosea chapter 2 at a very tough passage. Very difficult passage to read and to watch, and yet it is a passage filled with love. How hard it is to show tough love to someone you care about. But even harder than showing tough love to someone like that, it's accepting tough love from someone who cares about you. I still remember when I was in high school, I was getting to the end of year 12 about the time when they choose youth group leaders for the next year. And being the immature, loud, arrogant teenager that I was, I just expected that I would get the tap on the shoulder. Come join us next year. We'd love to have you on team. But it never came. Two of my best friends were asked from my church to come be youth group leaders. And I'd even decided at this time I wanted to pursue full-time ministry. So I did the mature thing, you know. I went and complained about my youth minister behind his back. At a party, I said, he's an idiot. I don't know what he's doing. I am the right man for the job. But by these actions, I was showing myself that I wasn't ready to lead youth group. As ministers do, he found out about my actions, and he took me out for a hot chocolate and a chat. He explained his reasoning, and I knew deep down that he was right. But I refused to accept his tough love to not give me what I so desperately wanted. I knew what was best for myself. I didn't even apologize to him from complaining. In fact, it took me a few years to do that. I knew that he cared for me. I knew that the decision was right, and yet I refused to accept it. When someone loves us and says something hard to us, it's often the most difficult thing to hear. Because if it was an enemy, we could just dismiss them. They don't care for us. They don't love us. But when someone who really does care for us, who really does love us, says something hard, and we know deep down they're right, it's often the most difficult thing to hear. If we're like this towards men, of course we're like this towards God. So often it's difficult to accept the tough love of God. As we open up God's word and we see firsthand what his tough love looks like, it makes sense that we pray to him, ask for his help to understand this passage. Would you pray with me? A gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, that it shows of your love in action, even when that love is not easy. Help us to understand it, to be changed and moved by it. Help us to look to your Son because of it. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week we saw God ask his prophet to do something excruciatingly hard. Humanly speaking, it was impossible to remain faithful to a wife he knows will cheat on him over and over again. One who would swap her white wedding dress for the red corset of a prostitute. It's easy not to feel the full weight of Hosea's heartbreak here. But this is a very real situation. We see his heartbreak over his Gomer, his wife, his bride, his beloved. Each time she cheated, his gut wrenched. Each time she was late home, he hoped that it was a long line at the store, but he knew that it was a long line of men waiting to pay for sex with his wife. Now, we may not know a wife like this. I hope you don't. But we all know that feeling of betrayal, don't we? When your son tells you that he's too busy to visit you with the grandchildren. They're just too full this holiday. And yet you see later on photos of them with the other set of grandchildren, the other set of grandparents. When you tell your deepest, darkest fear to your best friend and swear them to secrecy. And yet later on you hear them laughing about it with someone else. When your son tells you that he's staying late at the library, only to receive the phone call from another parent saying he's passed out in the backyard. Or when you see the smile of your wife when she gets a flattering text from a coworker. Betrayal. Most of us haven't felt the betrayal of an unfaithful spouse, but we have felt betrayal in some way or another, haven't we? We can understand Hosea when his heart breaks. And only by understanding the heartbreak of Hosea will we begin to be floored by his heartfelt faithfulness, by his love. He is utterly, utterly committed to his unfaithful wife. The reason God asks his prophet to do this, to do the impossible, is because God wants his people to know that he is committed to the impossible with them, to remain committed to his people who time after time turn their back on him. You see, Israel at the time of Hosea was in economic boom. Life was good. The crops were abundant. The wine was flowing and the pockets were deep. After the split of Israel from Judah in 931 BC, the northern tribes turned their back on God. They no longer followed the laws that taxed them in order to look after the poor. And this meant the rich got richer and the poor got poorer. They started opening up trade relations with the nations they were supposed to be a shining light to. And the money came flowing in. They were rich, filthy rich in the things of man, but bankrupt in the things of God. Religiously, they wanted their cake and to eat it too. Officially, they were followers of Yahweh, the chosen nation of God. And yet, they mixed their worship of him with adoration and worship of other gods. They praised Baal, the god of fertility, for their economic success and ignored their God who in fact brought it. Like a husband bringing flowers to his wife each morning, only for her to give credit to another man. So God is pouring out his blessing upon his people, only for them to worship another God instead. The parallels with Sydney are strong, aren't they? We live in a time of economic boom, where God is showering his blessing upon us. And yet our society would rather credit the mining industry or foreign investment or just plain hard work for our success instead of realizing that God has poured out his blessing upon us. Like Israel, we are rich and yet rebellious. For 200 years, God warned Israel. For 200 years, God sent prophet after prophet to call them home, to call them back. And here we are, like the final notice on your bill before the debt collectors come knocking on your door. God sends one last warning to the northern tribes of Israel before their destruction. And what is this final notice? It's a prophet married to a prostitute. Now we'll see over the next 2 weeks the love of God in two different modes. This week, the tough love of God. Next week, the tender love of God. Both are necessary. Both are important. But how? How will God's people respond to them? Will they accept his tough love? In Hosea 2, we see God take his people to court in two different ways. This week, we see God haul his wife into the courtroom. Next week, we see him court for her love. Now, we must remember that in the time of Hosea, the punishment for adultery was stoning by death by stoning. And this here is an open and shut case. She has committed adultery. She has been found out. The punishment should be swift. And yet we see a courtroom where Gomer is put on trial. And yet the trial is not open and shut. A hostile witness is called against her, her children of adultery. But as you will see, this court scene very quickly changes from Hosea and Gomer to God and Israel, as God is both the victim and the judge. Read with me in verse 2, rebuke. Rebuke your mother. Rebuke her, for she is not my wife, and I am not her husband. Let her remove that adulterous look from her face and the unfaithfulness from between her breasts. And speaking to his children, or maybe they weren't, Hosea begs them to rebuke their mother, that her adultery will be removed from her face and from her body. Now, this could have been the end of the scene. A rebuke, a death, end. Gomer is rightly convicted of adultery and sentenced to death. But this is not what Hosea wants, is it? He doesn't want her blood. He wants her heart. But he knows in order to get it, he needs to show her tough love, and she needs to accept it. At this point in the narrative, it becomes unclear if it's God or Hosea speaking to their cheating wives. You see, a loving husband clothes his wife, doesn't he? He feeds her and nourishes her. A loving husband showers his wife with gifts. In verse 3 to 5, we see what a cheating wife does with these gifts of love. She uses and abuses these very gifts for the love of other men. And so, like any other husband, God takes the gifts from her. Why? So she will come back. It's tough. And yet it's loving. God has given Israel blessing after blessing for decade after decade. And yet she's used these very gifts of love to worship other gods. So God will pull back his gifts from her. Not out of spite, but out of love. You see, God's people, they have not only broken his heart, but they've also broken his law. But God goes a step further. He doesn't just pull back his gifts and wait for her to come back. He protects her from herself. So what do you do? What do you do when someone can't protect them, or can't stop themselves hurting themselves? Well, when you see a dog who has a festering wound, what do you do to it? You put a novelty-sized traffic cone on its head, don't you? Why do you do that? To stop it licking its wound. You're protecting it from itself. So, this is what God is doing, isn't he? Or what do you do to a husband who maxes out his credit cards and gambling debts? You cut up the credit cards. What do you do to a child who spends the night driving on the streets looking for something to steal? You hide their keys. You protect them from themselves with the hope that they will see the error of their ways and come home. This is what tough love looks like. And so this is what God does to his people. Verse 6, therefore I will block her path with thorn bushes. I will wall her in so she cannot find her way. She will chase after her lovers but not catch them. She will look for them but not find them. I wonder how often God has protected you from yourself. When you're about to do something you knew was wrong, and yet circumstances meant that you couldn't go through with it. God loves his people. And his love may mean that we get angry at him. We kick our legs like a petulant child, even though he's working for our good. It is hard to accept the tough love of God. Humanly speaking, it is impossible in our own strength. But sometimes it's only when we're left with no other choice that we choose to return home to our loving Father. For what response does God want from his people after pulling back her blessing, his blessing and protecting them from themselves? We see it in verse 7b. Then she will say, I will go back to my husband as at first. For then I was better off than now. You hear echoes of the prodigal son there, don't you? If only I could go back to my father's house. This is the intention behind God's love, God's tough love. He wants his wife home. Brothers and sisters, we have betrayed our God. We have used his good gifts of money, sex, career, family to serve the idols of approval, comfort, and control. Friends, we need to hear the tough love of God here so we remain faithful to him. We need to accept his rebuke because although our sin may not be obvious to one another, it's obvious to him. His heart breaks each time. Gomer knew the problem. She knew what she was doing to Hosea. Israel knew the problem. They knew what they were doing to God, and we know the problem. It's wrong, but we can't help ourselves. We see the elements of his tough love when he pulls back his blessing upon us. We see him protecting us from ourselves, and then we get even more upset, saying, God, don't you know who I am? I've served you for 2 decades. I deserve better than this. We refuse to accept his tough love instead of seeing it as discipline. Because God disciplines those he loves. We kick our feet and say, God, you are unjust, you are unfair. We keep betraying our God. And just like every other relationship, there is a debt owing for our betrayal. So what on earth can we possibly do about the situation? We're stuck, aren't we? It's hopeless, isn't it? Well, we need to look to the Son of betrayal. You see, Jesus knew what it was like to be betrayed. He felt firsthand one of his closest friends, Judas, betray him for 30 pieces of silver. He felt the knife to the gut of his best friend, Peter, as he denied him publicly 3 times. When he needed him most. Jesus did not deserve it, but he took it. Jesus also knew the tough love of God, but not for his betrayal, but for ours. You see, our betrayal of God comes with a punishment. Like Gomer, we stand condemned. We deserve death. It's a bitter pill to swallow. We are helplessly guilty. We are caught in our sin day after day. Like Gomer, this should be an open and shut case. We are guilty. And yet God loves us like Hosea. He remains utterly, utterly committed to us, even when it breaks his heart. So like Israel, God starts pulling back his gifts of love, hoping we'll come back to him. But it does not work. So he starts protecting us from ourselves, stopping us from chasing after our lovers. But it does not work. So finally, God does the toughest thing he could do. His last ditch effort to win our hearts. His final act of love. He sends his beloved son to come and take the penalty for our betrayal. To pay the debt that we could not pay for our spiritual adultery. Only when we see Jesus and the extent to which he showed God's love towards us will we ever be able to accept the tough love of God. When we accept this tough love, we're able to show it towards others, even those who betray us. We can show that tough love and we can also accept it. Even when things are hard, because God remains committed to us. So as we finish up our time here this morning, we have seen that God's love, God's tough love, is hard to accept. And yet by looking at the love of the Father, to send his son to pay the debt owing for our sin, are our hearts melted so we can accept the tough love of one another. So then, this week, will we do it? Will we say those hard words that need to be said out of love? And will we accept those hard words said in love? How will we do it? Only by looking to Jesus.